here's a game you can play. You can even play it alone, but if you're with somebody now, try to guess the over and under on how many accordion tunes Steve is going to be able to play this hour when we're not just gabbing. And I'd say one. The over and under might be one. Steve, it's so good to see you, man. It's been a long, long time. I don't even know how to begin and asking you how you've been. And
well, it's been a long, we know it's been a long haul for all of us. Oh, by the way, if it's possible, I think I could do a couple things on the piano too. So maybe
we could do
if
that.
We need to hook that up, because I'll give you a little variety today. But I just want to say that when I come to your show, it's like visiting a family member that you haven't seen in a while, and you wonder, why did it take so long to come visit the family member? Because your show, if I have any possibility on a Saturday morning, it's always on. And I've listened to your show since you were in a basement on Cable Place.
Yes, indeed.
It's been a long, long haul, my friend.
And since you had very, 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 very young people in your charge.
Very, very. It's odd to say that I have children in their 30s.
Yeah.
It's like I couldn't wait to get them out of the house. It was funny. My wife and I were talking about, I said, how did we make it possible that we had children that didn't decide after college that maybe they should just stay and hang around at home? And she said, I sprinkled through the years to them that when they graduated from college, that if indeed they couldn't find a job or were, homeless for a while, they could visit, but they would be responsible for many chores. And I think
she did that. It's like reverse inoculation.
She's a big thinker, and I think it paid off, because they both were raised to want to be on their own, which they're both. My oldest son has two kids. He has a job.
Oh
my
gosh.
My youngest one lives in Brooklyn now with his girlfriend, and has a music career. And they both have managed to support themselves and be contributing citizens to us, to the
and
world.
And be true to themselves as whole and complete people. Now, you wonder, how was Mary controlling you?
Well, it was. It isn't that it's a—
Or not controlling, but programming, let's say.
Well,
or,
the wonderful thing about being married to my wife is that we're good debaters.
Uh-huh.
And if you make a good point, you make a good point. And you have to concede when a good point's been made. And one of the things she understood is how important doing my shows are. Because I'll never forget, she reached a point where he said, I really want to have children, and I'm going to buy you a piano that for at least 4 or 5 years, this will be how you will—
Your creative outlet.
You will create.
No more theater, right. No more stage.
Here's the piano.
No more performance
and
art.
And she spent many weekends looking at pianos. I found my piano. It was a Foster Baby Grand upright.
Ooh, nice.
I got it home, got it tuned, and it was a fair— everything's always been equitable and fair, and we both have an incredible love of houses. So over the years, we've bought and sold or just fixed up 10 houses.
I never knew that about you.
I just need something to do in the spare time, we're insane for houses, and I'd love to keep doing it. There's something about going into a house and hearing what it wants.
Yeah, and you're actually a rare person that's able to do that. Folks like you that are able to do that are few and far between, but you kind of get it. Like Steve hadn't seen our new space out here, and he was saying some really kind things about it off the air. And I said, coming from you, that really means a lot to me, because here we are in an 85-year-old, nearly about 80-year-old space, plus or minus. And there were a lot of choices to make. What do you do to this place so it doesn't look like you, you know, did a 1960s remodeling job?
No, it's really sharp. It's what's great is when you get function and beauty together, and it is. I want to – it's like when you walk into this big space out here, you want to be there. You feel comfortable, and you – it's like, wow. Because it's really hard when you're a nonprofit and you've got to scrounge for money and you've got to make decisions. And when you're able to make a decision and it still be beautiful, come on, jackpot.
Yeah, and guys like you see, we haven't gotten to a song yet. Can actually they can you can see things that aren't there. I'm not very good at that, but when you say what the house wants, you can sort of just like, you know, Wile E. Coyote, I think, would have these dollar signs, or but he'd have things in his eyes.
Popping
you know,
out,
you
yeah.
could see what he was thinking of, not necessarily monetary, but you know, like the Roadrunner on a spit, you know, in his
right,
eyes
right,
or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
You could see stuff. I can't. I kind of know it when I
when
do
you
see
it,
but I can't imagine it.
It's a gift. When I see a space, no matter how decrepit, I just see it. It's there, and it's a gift.
We better let you play so somebody
okay.
can at least win.
I have a friend of mine that just wanted to hear. I'm just going to play a couple bars of Lady of Spain because everybody has to hear Lady of Spain on the accordion.
Who's your friend? Who is it? Well,
I just got an email this morning. I can't remember who it was.
Okay,
but I was perusing through.
I don't want to put you on the spot. I know we had a lot of emails too about Steve, so you know who you are, Lady of Spain. You know.
Let me just do a couple bars because of that. And I also have to play because as a kid, it was always the insult. You can play Lady of Spain. And it never slowed me down because you have to remember I grew up and was playing the accordion just at that cusp where the guitar, because of the Beatles, exploded.
Mm.
So it went from being a cool thing to being a nerd thing. And I never dropped it. I was going to hold on to that instrument.
all the more reasons I love you and admire you, daring to be different, you know.
Well, let me just tell you this story, and then I'll play something. My father wanted to play the accordion. His father bought him an accordion. They went for a lesson. The teacher didn't show up. My grandfather got disgusted, took the accordion back, and my father wanted an accordion. So he was in high school. He got the job of emptying the ashes for the school every morning.
Out of the boiler, wow.
Because it was, this is going to be 1910, 12, and saved up his money and bought a 12-bass accordion. And his sister had a really good ear, so she would hum things to him, and he would learn them by ear.
Wow.
And this leads to the song that I want to do. He had a friend that had a crystal set, which I'm sure I own a crystal set because I told this story to a friend of mine.
We do make them here as projects every now and then. Yeah,
it's just a magic.
Yeah.
So he would go to his friend's house, hear a song, try to memorize it, go home and try to play it. And one of his favorite bands were the Three Sons. It was organ, accordion, and drums. And their theme song was Twilight Time. And so when I learned that, my father went crazy because let me play that for you. Let me get the right. Now, I just wanted to also say an accordion, I have a large accordion that has four sets of reeds in the right hand and five sets of reeds in the left hand. So that means that when I play a note, I can be activating four full reeds or five full reeds on the bass, And the changes that you see on my accordion, you can see all these little levers, combine them. And it's really weird because there's only 12 half tones in Western music. So on the left-hand side, there's only really, though I have 120 buttons, there's only 12 little holes for the air to blow through. So inside this is a mechanism that when I push a button, all these little wires, it's amazing. If you take it apart, you lose your mind. But anyway.
It's incredible. And most made in Italy, right?
Yes. Unfortunately, as of late, the Chinese have been flooding the market with really junkily built ones. So the only way the Italian accordion industry could compete is only make high-end instruments now. But believe me, there's so many accordions floating around. You'll be able to get a decent one. You almost want one that's broken in. Let's see. Let me get the right. There we go. Okay. Let's see. Sorry, I'm a
I put a picture of the three sons. I don't know how well you can see it. I was looking to learn more about them, and the Platters had the big hit with that. I had to look. I was curious.
I know someone did a vocal version of it, but it's a strange combination, organ and accordion.
Very much. They say, let's see, Al Nevins guitar, Morty Nevins accordion, and Artie Dunn, vocals and electric organ. And they were in a lot of short musicals. The Soundies, says the Wikipedia entry. So they began to play that way. I'm going to have to look them up a little bit more.
Yeah, I think I even have a record album, because he was fascinated by it, because when he grew up, the accordion was king. It was in everything. And it's very interesting when you hear a lot of these old Western tunes that there's an accordion in the country music.
Yeah.
And it had a big resurgence in, I guess, the 90s, the accordion. You know, everything gets rediscovered. I just wanted to mention this show that I'm about
yes,
to do.
Yes, please. Yeah. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you will.
I do shows in sort of cycles, like I feel the need, because I discovered years ago that I don't want to be I don't want my job to be theater any more than I want my job to just be plastering. I like to spread out.
Mm-hmm.
So I had planned on this one just about the time that the pandemic happened. And, of course, you know, everything got scattered. And the idea was that I would build a wall, put metal lath on it, and the show would take place over 3 nights. And each night I would play a set on a different instrument. One night accordion, one night guitar, and one night piano. And I'd do 5 to 6 original songs, change my clothes, and plaster the wall. Okay, now, while I plaster the wall, there would be a list of 50 or 60 topics that the audience can vote on, and I will tell the stories they pick, plus a couple that I want.
What a great idea.
Thank you. I've sat on this so long and really never explained it to anybody. I just started to doubt myself that maybe I was got a little solipsistic.
No, but, it's good. Where's it going to be?
It's in a location that I will divulge on my website because it's really not
I get it.
A set venue, but it is the perfect venue for it. And it's very – probably I can only sit about 15 or 20 people.
So this will be like a house concert type of thing.
Sort of like a house concert. And I really wanted to be – I really wanted to set up longitude and latitude for the – and I've got it, but people don't really go to it. So I'm going to find a place that we will all meet. I will greet everyone and bring them to the space. And – I just need to add, I have this extra little caveat to the whole thing. I have a good friend that's an incredible photographer. And I don't know, in talking with her, thought, how wonderful if we took a trip to New Eagle, where I grew up,
mm-hmm.
and we took pictures of the house I grew up in, my high school, my grade school, you know, just the milieu. And she's taken some incredible photographs that I'm going to have around the space.
Oh, you can hang them on the wall too.
Yeah, yeah.
When the wall
they'll
is
be
done.
On the walls, and I'll be able to. I'm sure every night I'll, you know, give a little blow by blow on all of them.
Yeah, they're going to inspire you.
Yeah, and it's. I'm so happy that you are thrilled with the concept because, you know, I get these ideas and I just let them float around. And, you know, I start thinking, well, maybe I think it's going to be very interesting because I'm as good at plastering that I am so good at this point to, you know, ring my own bell that I can tell a story while I plaster a wall and people will actually see the process as it goes along.
Yeah.
And the finished product.
See, I think that's good because people, too, how can I put this? It's almost because you are going to be doing that, plastering as you tell the story, it kind of engages people in a different way. Folks, I think, find it hard to just listen or to focus intently on a person's eyes and voice.
Yeah.
And so you kind of – it's why good conversations happen when you're playing cards. It gives you, you know, something to do with your hands as you're talking or if you're cooking or doing something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no. It's – yeah. And I just digress for a second. My friend's name is Stacy Hoffman. She's an incredible photographer, and I was impressed after describing what I wanted, how well she captured it in these black and white photographs. And I think you make a really good point because you know that if you're in the shop, you're in your office here, and you're doing things, and you're just conversing, there are these two things going on
mm-hmm.
that sort of mesh together.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I came up with it, but it was just, yeah, this is two parts of my life that never get hooked together.
It's a great idea
well,
for
thank
a show.
Thank you.
When do you think it'll come to be?
Well, it's on May 18, 19, and 20. It's going to be in Oakland, and I'll soon release a point where people will meet. And so each night I'll start out with a set, and then I will plaster and tell stories that the audience has picked. And there'll be a couple that I decide are just too good to resist that I have to tell.
And by the way, just so you know, we're talking plaster like real mud. This is not drywall. This is not, oh, God, what's that company that makes any of these synthetic?
Drive-It.
Yeah, or yeah. Any of the – this is real.
It's interesting because you have a scratch coat, you have a brown coat, and you have the skim coat. And at this point, I've always used pre-mixed skim coat, but I'm going to do the actual old time. It's called slacking the lime. You let it soak overnight.
Ooh, yeah.
You make a little volcano. You put some water in it. You put the gauging in. You mix it, and then you plaster. So they're going to get the real deal. And this is as old. I mean, even in Egypt, they didn't have the gauging, but in Egypt, they just used lime.
Yeah.
And in England in the 1514, 1300, and the trouble with the lime, it takes long to set. So you might take 6 months to do a room. And once they added the gauging, it sets it up, and it has a, you know, it's a beautiful finish. So and so it's called Drywall 57, A Life of Gypsum, because
I like it. I'm so
fortunate because as a kid, my father said, no matter what you do, don't ever plaster. No, no, no. And I never did. And some guy said, do you think you could patch this hole? And I went, okay, I'll try it. And it was like, this is what I'm meant for. He was a more digital guy, was a carpenter, and plastering is analog. It's this sort of...
Yeah.
You're just floating in the universe.
Yeah. It's always different, I think.
Yeah.
You can't – I mean, you can get consistency, I'm sure, but it depends on the substrate you're working on or even the quality of the materials going into the plaster and the atmosphere, right? It's
yeah,
not always
yeah.
going to cure the
it's
same way.
And it's – there's something primal about water.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so much water that's as a part of it. And no, it was the greatest gift I got out of this life was discovering that I could plaster, because there are days where I will do something and go, wow, I did that and I didn't even think about it.
Oh, I know. I'm always amazed. This is Steve Pellegrino, by the way. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. Thank you for doing it. There are days, and I still, the reason I know I don't want to say that I'm good at this, but that I enjoy this, I guess, is I'm still.
But you are good at it, and you enjoy it, and it's what you're meant to do. And that's what life is about.
Exactly.
I mean, can you beat – every time I come here, it's like, wow, I see you two, and I go, jackpot. I mean, because yeah. I know you and your wife – work together on this. And I know how that there's these places that overlap, and there are places that little crevices here and there that one of you really don't want to do, but the other does do. And it's incredible.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's to find a thing that you enjoy doing that gives you monetary remuneration is a gift that you can't be.
And the other kind, just, you know, spiritual or personal joy, because I was going to say you can still be fascinated by a project you complete, a plastering project, with the incredible wonder of, you know, somebody that maybe has never done it before. I still find wonder in things here. We both have done those things for a long time, but it's amazing to still be able to see or hear things or experience things that bring you that much joy.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
Yeah, no, and I think it's one of the reasons I'm certain I feel this way, that when we get together in these conversations, that each of us are enjoying the other because we both sit in this position of having this thing that works. And it just what doesn't work for us, other people appreciate what it is we have to offer. And it's life is amazing.
It is.
I only wish that every human being could hold in their hand and grasp what that thing is that will make them, give them joy and make their world full.
Well, and a lot of us were taught or talk about conditioning your kids. We're kind of conditioned. I know I was conditioned that work was not necessarily something you were meant to enjoy. In fact, it was very much the opposite. Work was not even to be tolerated. It was to be, not. It was basically
a drudge.
Yeah, a drudge.
If there was ever some young person that came up to me and said they wanted to learn how to plaster, I would do it. Because if indeed it can become this incredible thing that you do that you love, I look at it this way. If you can find some way to make a living, to feed yourself, clothe yourself, and have a place to live, and you find it more, you find more things about it that excite you than detract, you've hit it.
Absolutely. And there's always going to be some negative aspects.
And so you can put up with it because the other stuff is like – this is very interesting because I haven't been back in a while. And you have to see the new stuff in the studio is just incredible. You come in and all you want to do is say, I'm moving in. I want to go do that. And it's really, really wonderful in a way to not be here for a while so I could see this incredible change. And it's funny because the huge room that's outside the studio part is sort of like a basement. And it's very cool that they've kept the rustic sort of stuff, the nuts and bolts sort of stuff, with these incredibly wonderful augmentations that just give it a really wonderful feel. You want to sit there. You want to be here.
Yeah, we spent a lot of smart people put a lot of thought into that. I can't take much credit.
Well, you initiated it. You knew that these were things that would augment what you do. And you hit a home run here.
Oh,
because I like to look at things like rooms and houses and buildings. And I find it really, really a warm, welcoming space. And if I was a kid to come in here and use some of this equipment, you wouldn't get me out of here. I'd be ready to sleep on the floor.
Well, we're just getting started, too. And you can't see them, but I'm watching. There's somebody in a booth doing a voiceover. Chad is over there. Chad, you're fine. I'm not calling you. Chad is over there. Chad heard his name, and he perked up. That's Chad. He's working with some kids out there, and Alexa's getting ready to do some stuff. It's really fun.
No, and it's I got to tell you, man, nothing beats a red refrigerator.
Oh, well, thank Robert Gray for that. He liked the red refrigerator.
I'm going to tell you, man, it's nice because part of the walls sort of behind is a gray black, and the red refrigerator. It just sets the whole thing off.
Just,
I'm telling you,
it
man.
Pops.
I think I'm moving in. I don't think I'm going home today. I'm just going to go out there and stay.
Hey, we'll keep you. Hey, let's play. Now we have the piano if you want.
Yeah, I got.
You don't need to. Or there's more accordion. Chad, no need to run. I think we're doing another accordion, or maybe not.
But. Yeah, I'll do another accordion.
Okay.
I truly love Monk. And the piano, he came up, it's sort of like, he's sort of an odd character. And I guess everybody knew, because I was fortunate enough one time to study with Henry Threadgill, a jazz musician.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And he knew Monk.
Wow.
And he was off stage one time. I guess he was performing on the same venue with him. And Monk ran off stage because one of his comments was, I have to always know when to play the wrong notes. And he was very upset because he says, I played all the wrong notes tonight.
Oh.
And when you listen to his stuff, you get a sense of that, what he's talking about. There's this sort of off-kilterness about the rhythm and the melody that attracts me. And one of my favorite songs by him is called Straight No Chaser.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a 12 bar, but what he does with it's just incredible. So let me give it a try here.
Sounds so good.
Well, thank you.
That instrument, and Monk is an amazing cat.
I have a Blue Note double album that you just – it's amazing, and I know he was a real character because you see all these pictures. He put lampshades on for a hat. I mean, he did crazy, crazy things, but he had an incredible – His mother left him quit school so he could go on the road and be a musician because she knew somehow – I think this is true. You can't quote me because I don't remember everything. But I feel that she let him go on the road because she knew that he had this gift that was not going to get fostered in any other way.
People know the sorts of things, I think. You know, it's probably hard to do that these days. There's so much pressure that people feel about what it is they're supposed to do. Man, what he's an amazing talent. I've been thinking a lot about Ahmad Jamal lately since he just passed. And he started playing piano when he was 3 years old.
I just when you see these, like, wow. I mean, he could barely push the keys down at three. And it's sort of like he was one of those people that I didn't discover till later. It's just – there's just such a plethora of incredible musicians in all ways, shapes, and forms that you can't catch them all. And his style was just so absolutely different
oh.
than anything you listen to.
Yeah, we were listening to Poinciana this morning.
Uh-huh.
It just happened to be playing as we were coming in this morning. And I never – and maybe it was because it was, you know, 5 in the morning. but it's so sparse and so rich at the same time.
It's sparse – but rich.
Yeah.
That dichotomy is – how do you do that?
I don't even know how you do that. It was really neat. I mean, we have Sirius, one of the few – I figured I like radio so much, we'll listen to it, you know.
I know.
Every time I started up the car, and I usually have the jazz station on, it's almost always a Pittsburgher.
Wow.
One or two songs, and today it was Ahmad Jamal, and man, that was a good way to start the day.
No. It's just what's amazing about music is how it stimulates things that you. How do you describe it? There's
yeah.
just this. It's like, and but. And let me just say, because I want to throw this in, because when between I have how to phrase this, my wife was we found to have cancer, and within months we had the COVID, and so it was a long haul of what is up, where
yeah.
are we going. And I was on the cusp of wanting to do this show. And, of course, you shelve it because there are other things that are more important. And in my marriage, we've always balanced because she understands this is something I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but I have to do it. And so I've worked out a really fair thing that works for me because I don't want to do this all the time any more than I want to do anything all the time because I'm that guy that wants to have his hands in this and that and this. I was talking to one of a young woman that was here that works here, and she was we were talking about seamstress sewing. Oh my God, she gave me all this information about stitches and things. I can't wait to get on the computer and look this stuff up. Everything fascinates me. It's like everything
yeah.
that you look around, you see a millionth, a little particle of it, and then you go deep, and she's showing me this stitch and telling me about this stitch I never heard of. Because I worked in a costume shop for a little while, and I got to do some sewing. Everything's incredible.
Yes.
You know, and
yes.
I hope that I never, ever reach the point where everything isn't incredible. And I just wish everybody could find that thing that makes everything incredible because it's there. It's all there. And that's what I like about your show. Your show, I like the fact that you devote so much time to young people. And what do young people need? What can we give young people? What can we listen to through young people? Because they are, as it's always said, the future. And what a gift you give to these kids to be able to come on a radio show, share their views, and not only that, be able to make their own broadcast. It's a gift that gives back.
I was going to say they're giving a lot to us.
Oh, my God, because I'm sure there's things they'll do or say, and you go, I've been at this 30 years. Why didn't I think of this?
Yeah, or just especially kids still really dig radio, and I'm not – I check that all the time. Guess what? Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter what your race is. Doesn't matter how big your wardrobe budget is or if you're having a bad hair day. And you can be anonymous. And last I checked, almost nobody hams it up. You know, you take a picture, and you're almost always going to be goofing for the camera. But for the most part, radio encourages authenticity, and that's what it's all about, you know?
Wow. I'm just curious, and I know I'm sure. I need to hear this. How did you? What was that moment? And how did it? Do you come to it where you said this is something that I think I can do, and I can give and get back. How did this? At this point in your career, this is incredible.
I sort of have. I mean. There's a lot of little moments like that, but one that was really clear is, I guess it was like 2008 maybe, so I was about 45, and I still had a really good job doing environmental work for Mine Safety Appliances Company. I'm sure you've worn our respirators from time to time. I enjoyed that job. I loved the people I worked with. I was good at it. I loved the idea of keeping people safe and protecting the environment. But I was also doing this, and I really had this moment. We talk about land all the time. What is the best and the highest use for this piece of property? And I thought, what is the best and highest use of and I don't want to sound morbid because I didn't mean it this way, but what's the best and highest use of my remaining time? And it was – I always thought there would be this tension or this tug of war between those things. And it was like a no-brainer. And I remember talking to my boss, and I said, Doug, we're going to find – I said, it's kind of like this. I'm in a singular position right now to be able to do something really amazing if I focus on it. And I think I'm one of the few people that has this opportunity. I said, there's, you know, thousands of people we can find to do what I am doing for you right now.
Yeah, yeah, no.
And I said, we're going to find somebody, and that person is going to be thrilled at that opportunity, and he or she will do a really good job. So it wasn't as painful. I always thought there would be this big eureka, or not, I guess it was kind of a eureka, but it'd be a painful, like, it just became very obvious.
I'm fascinated because I don't have the chronology of the timeline. I just it's amazing when you grasp what that is. Because when I hear you on the radio, it's always a pleasant experience, and your interaction, your interviews, everything that goes on this show is pleasant. It's pleasant and like it's exciting in a way that isn't overwhelming, but I want to listen.
That's very kind.
I want to hear what's going on. And I'm always amazed at what you are able to pull out of your interviews because I do not have that skill.
Oh, don't. I was just going to say you just pulled out a few things for me that I'm not sure I've ever talked about before.
Well, you know, I wonder these things. Yeah. And, you know, it's like I don't want to pry, but it's I'm just amazed because for as long as I've known you, you are meant for this. I'm sorry. I don't mean to, like, proselytize or go on, but it's wonderful when someone has a platform that they use in such a positive way and are good at.
Thank you. And it's not false humility. No, I'm happy.
I don't know.
And, you know, it's a mutual admiration because every time I talk with you, you make me think of stories that I want to tell. I have a friend who Steve is probably close to 80, and he still is a broadcaster, and he's an amazing human being, and he's writing memoirs. I think the book is called My First 60 Years in Broadcasting,
wow.
And he's just telling stories, and I've got a lot of those. it's funny. They come. I think most people's memories are like this, like something gets jostled in your mind and it's almost like one of those Plinko machines, another memory falls out.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of things. There's a lot of stories to tell.
Well, what's interesting about this show is, since I want to tell these stories, because one of the things is, you know, to be honest, I hate to memorize lines and I'm not good at it. And the older I get, the less I am because I don't practice at it. And, you know, I'm at that age where I can't recall names, but I could probably draw the picture of the person,
Yeah.
But what's good about this is that I can get up in front of an audience who can give me a topic. And I spent a lot of time, because you'd get this topic and then you think, oh, what about that? That would be a good story. That'll be. And so every day I write 3-4 more down. This list is getting ridiculous. So I'll probably have to pare it down. But it's like you say, you remember these things and the synapses go off.
Yes, yeah.
And you go, oh, I have not thought about that moment since it happened. Like the other day, oh God, I was the youngest in a bunch of cousins. So I got hand-me-down clothes, which, you know, no big problem. Because, you know, you're working class, that's how you do it. Well, I went to school and at morning recess, I reached up with something and my pants ripped from my crotch down to my knee. So I kind of were, you know, hiding. Yeah. This is like second grade. Go out for the second recess and rips the other side. And so I'll never forget. I think the girl's name was Lacey Sweeney, goes in and tells the teacher, Miss Lowe, Stephen ripped his pants open. I was mortified because I'm trying to – I took my shoelaces out and tied my pant lace here. Mrs. Lowe had spelling class or reading class. She sat in my seat and sewed my pants up while we took reading class.
Aww.
And it's – I had not thought about that till this instant where we were just – it just like these things flash and you go, how did I keep that hidden in my brain for, you know, as old as I am? But it's like that was – it was – she just made nothing, no big deal, because at that point, that was just total embarrassment. I mean, you're basically a second grader and your pants are ripped.
And she knew exactly what to do.
She just sewed it. It was like she made the situation and she normalized it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. She just, matter of fact, not a big deal. I see. I can't believe – look at the time. I knew this was going to go fast. She's going to – you know, a kid falls. You can either say, oh, my God, are you okay? Or you can say, okay, like, let's go.
Yeah, man,
you know, let's
it's
keep
good.
Going.
It's good.
You know, we need to do this again. We have a lot of family visits to make up for. I can't believe how
all I can say is talking with you is a lot of fun. And I enjoy coming here so much. You just can't imagine.
Well, we should do it more. And we got 3 songs in for anybody that had the over or under. It was 3.
I'm shocked. I'm sorry. It's like it's a synergistic moment when we both get together and we jaw. And it's sort of like – it's like my father used to say, why don't you sit down and we'll open a keg of nails.
There you go. Well, we'll look for you next week. We'll meet you here for the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio.